and my parents took me there, and then they lost me, and then they found me, and I was at Wiener Schnitzel. So then during DLG Con, JP Diddy was wearing a Wiener Schnitzel shirt, and he said, yeah, I heard you tell that story, and I thought maybe you could get lost inside of me. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode. I'm Bobby.
And I'm Emilio. I guess I'm just going to go with that from now on. I don't know. While there's two of us.
Yeah.
It seems off when it's just like, I'm the clown.
Yeah, and I think it's better that people know who you are, new listeners and all.
Yeah. Maybe I'll just be going by Bob. Bob and Bobby. Does that work?
I don't think that's going to work for me. I don't know. As long as I'm not Bob, that's really all I'm concerned.
That, huh?
I do not like that. And everyone's been really good about not calling me Bob lately. It's been nice.
Well, if only you could get somebody. I'll never forget this story. As long as you could get somebody at Best Buy to call you Robert, everything would be great.
God, the Best Buy story. I've told that on the podcast a few times. I don't think we need to relive it. But yeah, apparently some people don't know that Bobby is a nickname for Robert.
Yep. They wouldn't give him his fucking refund.
That was a whole thing. All right, before we get started here, shout out to our new patron, James. Thank you very much, man.
Yeah, not a new patron. He just upped it from $5 to $10, so thank you so much.
Stepping up.
Yeah, and with that, we are $20 away in patron pledges until we get the VR, which, don't you wish we had it already, Bobby? Don't you wish you would have just brought that down?
I am not concerned with VR at all, man.
Oh, man.
I'm barely going to use it.
You're literally a crazy person. All right.
All right. And shout out to JP Diddy and XM6U3X for the Prime subscriptions.
Thanks, homies. The survey is still going on. We saw a little bit of the early stuff. I mean, I think the majority of people probably already participated that are going to participate, but we have a whole other week. So at the show notes, just click on it and you could just tell us what you think. There's a comment section at the bottom where you could just tell us to fuck off, which some people did. So check it out. It helps us improve the show, which is what we're always trying to do.
Yep.
And lastly, it's been a while since we talked about DIG Con. I don't want people to think that it's not happening. So if we need to, we're going to downgrade to a smaller place. We've talked about that. No matter what, the shit's going to happen, right? But it might not happen where we said it, and it might not happen when we said it, but it's going to happen. Nobody's going to be losing money at any point here. So, so if there's a restructuring of the prices of the rooms, everybody's going to be happy. I'll make sure that everybody's happy money-wise. But if you do want to reserve a spot, you can still do that for $100. And then, you know, we can work out the details later. Hopefully, I mean, who knows with this whole pandemic thing, but September kind of seems kind of safe to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah, I think so. And so the house we're looking to downgrade to isn't even a downgrade. It's a nicer house. It just has less rooms. So, yeah, that might be happening, or there's a lot of opportunity, but you're going to have a good time. Look at, where do they go? DLG Con 2020. That you could see details.
The
and
link
stuff like
will
that.
Be in the description.
Yep. And days, day A Z E D I. What is it? Day I. Day D A I Z. Right. Yes.
Is this a spelling contest?
Yeah, yeah. She's running the whole thing. For 3 days when I met her, I was calling her Diaz because I'm like dyslexic. So I thought it was D I A Z. But anyway, there it is. Yeah, check it out. We're gonna have a good time.
Cool. All right, time for the game show. We're going to have a listener come on and try to guess some sound or some audio from video games. And he's got a chance to win, what are we up to, $20 this week? $20 on the new sound.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Controlled Pairs, are you there?
Hey, guys, what's up? Controlled Pairs here, longtime listener, first-time caller.
Hey, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, dudes?
All right, welcome to the show. First time calling in.
How long is long time?
I think I was on a road trip like later, like fall 2018 with my wife, and we ended up just looking for a gaming podcast and stumbled across you guys. And ever since then, it's been a happy marriage.
You put your wife through that, man?
Oof. Bro, she's about it, man. It was cool. She, she's a fan of the show. She listens to it periodically as well. And yeah,
that's
been a minute.
And why do you like the show other than me? which we already
know. I mean, that's the obvious choice, right? But there's not a lot of PC gaming podcasts out there. Definitely a different style of content that you guys do. Definitely a little bit more laid back, conversational, easy to listen to. And I kind of appreciate that.
Yeah, dude, it's great being number one where nobody else is competing. You know what I mean?
Right?
Yeah.
Supply and demand, you know, win.
We won automatically.
All right. Well, I'm going to start off playing a song from a video game here. And I don't know your taste in video games, so I'm just going to grab one at random and hopefully you know what this is from.
Yeah, I already shared with Sniper that this is not going to go well. I'm excited nonetheless.
All right. Well, let's see if you can nail this one.
I want to guess. After.
This is kind of a hard one. It sounds very generic.
Yeah, it's really generic.
It's epic. It's got like a trailer, like loading screen, intro, landing page kind of feel to it. It feels like an old World of Warcraft trailer music. Is that anywhere close?
No, I'm afraid not. That is actually someone
in Overwatch.
No, Overwatch. Really, that would have been an easy one.
Yeah. I thought it was like the title screen of Overwatch.
No. And Raconia is the same Witcher 3.
And that is correct.
You can't say it before he guesses, dude.
But Raconius, you know, he's gotten so many wrong. I'm kind of happy that he got that one right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Even if it's the wrong time.
But Emilio, I'm surprised you didn't know that one. Is all the Witcher you've played.
Dude, I don't even know what that's from. Is that the title screen?
Mm-hmm.
I always skip right past the title screen. Okay. I guess that's why.
I have not played The Witcher 3, which upsets my wife, you know, who we've already talked about twice now. It's one of her favorite action RPGs of all time. That and Skyrim she goes to over and over again. So I'm sure she's in the other room being disappointed in me presently.
You're a terrible person, man.
Oh, man. All right. Well, I'm going to play a sound from a video game. This one's going to be a sound effect, and maybe you have a better chance at getting this one. And I lost it. Hold on.
It's okay. I can fill time.
No, balloons. I got it right here. Okay, here we go. Dude, I'm giving you the hard ones today, man. I apologize.
Bro, what can I hear that one again?
It sounds like dubstep. Let me...
It sounds like your intro music.
Yeah, it kind of does in a way. Let me bring it up again. I'm sorry, I'm using a website for this.
You know, it's funny that like we have that cute, like dubsteppy intro, and then we're like, "Hey guys, how's it going?" Here we are talking about video games again.
Yeah, it doesn't quite fit, does it?
No.
All right, here we go. One more time.
Man, I'm gonna go with the gravity gun from Garry's Mod or Half-Life.
Okay. I mean, that's a pretty good guess, but I'm sorry.
It's at least specific, right?
It is. Yeah, that is a tough one. That's a Reaper from Mass Effect.
Dude, that should have been that should have been the next.
Yeah, that should have been.
That's a good mystery sound. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Well, we fucked that up. Give us a fucking buzzer, dude. We fucked that up.
Yeah, this one's on.
That's one for the DLG.
But this is the only one that matters here. This is the mystery sound. So hopefully you got a good guess on this one. So last week, somebody, our mini guest, Dark Souls, which was close, but he guessed the bonfire at Dark Souls. So let me play it. All right.
So, like, the moment I found out I was the call-in guy, I went back and listened to Minnie's response and heard the disappointment in his voice when he guessed bonfire and got it wrong. I actually have not played Dark Souls. I am going to go with... is it like when you... it sounds like if you fall to your death, like if you fall off a cliff or into lava or an equivalent, whatever that may be in Dark Souls, that sort of effect. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know. Amelia, what's the call on that one?
Man. I feel like last week.
The fact that you even have to ask that, I'm impressed with myself. I mean, that was...
Yeah. Did we get the iteration of the game right already?
I think that's the same in all Dark Souls games.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to give it to him.
All right. Let's do it. Yeah, we'll take that. So that is the death sound from all Dark Souls
games. The underdog.
Yep. Go. So, it is when you fall to your death, but it's actually when...
You die anyway.
Yeah, when you die. I'm surprised at how many people have not played Dark Souls. And if you've played Dark Souls, that's a sound that you've heard over and over and over again. So I know any Dark Souls player would probably get that immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's famously difficult.
The reason that we're doing these kind of things is exactly the response we're getting from Cloud Lotion. We want people to be tearing their iPods, I'm going to date myself again, apart about like, oh, the motherfucker, how do you not know this? You know what I mean?
Yeah, their iPods.
Right. Yeah. Well, I don't know, man.
They're Microsoft Zooms.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Well, yeah, congratulations, man. You win the $20 on that one. I knew that sound wasn't going to make it that far. That one was too easy. So we'll be a little more difficult next time.
Yeah. Maybe we should use the Reaper from... God damn, that is so good. Yeah. Oh, well. So we're going to have this new segment called Spotlight. So somebody that we choose is going to call in and talk about a game that they're passionate about. I don't know very many people that are more passionate about this particular game than Controlled Pairs is about Postscriptum. So much so that I believe that you've done some... Is it the right game that you did some artwork on this game?
I've done some like thumbnail design and just basic graphic stuff, but I haven't done any like super creative artwork on it. Just a bunch of general content creation, if you will.
And you did hound the devs until they talked to you, right?
There was some finesse involved. Hound is an aggressive word.
How'd it go, man? How'd the interview?
It was awesome, man. I appreciate some of the advice you guys gave me last week, which was put to good use. They've got Periscope Games is the developer. They're a group of former modders who worked on Squad and Project Reality World War II for the tactical shooter kind of nerds in the audience who may understand what those projects are all about. They were super generous with their time. I kind of reached out originally and became what they describe as a creative partner, which just means that I kind of get a first look at some of the stuff that the game is releasing. They'll share some of my content that I put out that, you know, as long as it's in line with the kind of stuff that they're promoting. So with that out of the way first, I am obviously biased because this is a game I love quite a bit. But they were real generous with their time. We talked for like half an hour. They answered a lot of questions, some pretty tough questions, and they were really open about kind of where the game's at now and where it's going. So it was really cool.
Okay. So explain what the game is to me if I've never heard of it and why you like it so much.
So for those unfamiliar, Postscriptum is a hardcore tactical shooter, essentially a simulator set in World War II, and it's got a focus on large-scale battles. It's all multiplayer, and it's heavily focused on those large-scale battles, teamwork, and then just overall kind of realism. For the history nerds in the audience, it takes place over the whole spectrum of the conflict, really, with the first iteration starting off in 1940 with the Battle of France, then moving into Operation Market Garden, then ultimately the invasion of Normandy, which was just released this last week. So it's actually kind of a big week in the game's history.
And that's a big undertaking too. Imagine the whole Normandy thing is just so many moving parts.
Absolutely. It's a multiplayer game. It's 80 person servers, 40 on 40. It's got infantry combat as well as vehicle combat. So a bunch of tanks, all really historically accurate. And because it's a tactical shooter, it's also got this kind of command structure in the game, if you will. So when you spawn in, obviously there's classes, just like a lot of the shooters that folks have played, but you can also jump into a role as like a commander or a section leader. And the player base is really passionate. It's a small community, but folks are obviously, this is something that people focus on pretty heavily. So people actually coordinate in game. They use, tactics and artillery and smoke and communication to coordinate the way that they're moving around the battlefield. It's definitely a niche kind of game in that regard, but, to a certain segment or population of players, particularly those who appreciate, realism and immersion and teamwork, it's kind of the ideal game in my mind. And kind of for that reason, those are kind of games I've been attracted to historically. I got my start in, the old Battlefield 1942 and the Arma series, and I love, Insurgency Sandstorm and those kind of games. For that reason, it really kind of drew me in, and I've been playing it for, over a year now. It's been out since 2018, and it's at a place now where it's kind of healthier than ever from a just concurrent player standpoint and a development standpoint.
Nice, man. Really well said. Would you say that it's like an Arma for based in World War II? Like the time has changed?
Yeah, no, that's an awesome question. So Arma is a hardcore milsim. It is, 100% simulation. I think Postscriptum finds a happy balance between Arma and, say, a Battlefield game. It is not a simulation to the extent that, because Arma's controls are like inherently clunky. The maps are like 40 square kilometers. And, you know, in that regard, it's a complete simulation. Postscriptum, you can expect kind of like 2 to 3 square kilometer maps. The gunplay is much smoother. The action is more consistent and more constant. But it's still like a one hit kill kind of situation. If you get shot in the chest, you're going to go down. The time to kill is unforgiving and it's immediate. So I think it finds kind of a happy medium. For those in the audience who have played Squad, which is developed and published by Offworld Industries, this game began as a mod for Squad. So it feels very, very similar to that game, which I think a lot of folks may have heard of.
Squad kind of had a cult following. I remember like it came out, made no waves, and then I feel like as the game gone on, I heard about it more and more and more and more people. I saw people, you know, your friend is playing Squad and, you know, I never got into it, but it's one of those games that grew as it got older, which is nice to see.
Yeah. I think there's so few options for people who like these kind of games, that it's completely possible that most people that are looking for this sort of experience have already found it. And I think those folks who liked Squad are definitely going to like Postscriptum if they haven't already pulled the trigger on it. So yeah, it's an awesome time. It's definitely my preferred experience right now. Anyway,
I've played a lot of games that, well, not a lot, but there's been a few that try to do this command structure, right? And you know, a lot of times you have a lot of jack offs that just won't listen, or
sure.
how do you get the right person in the right position? How does this game put the right guy in the right position? And I guess because it's a small community, maybe people start to get a reputation. I'm guessing.
I think that's a huge part of it. A lot of it's self-policing. You know, there's plenty of jokes that go around. This past weekend, which ended just a few hours ago, was a free weekend to promote the game coming off this big free DLC period. And we always joke during the free weekend that, you know, you can see the just kind of tactics or level of coordination kind of deteriorate with the influx of new players, which is fine. We want new players, right?
Right.
But in the game, yeah, there's absolutely people that are kind of getting a reputation for squad leading. It's a volunteer system. So if you want a squad lead and you volunteer for that position, it's typically available. And it's not like particularly challenging. There's not a bunch of different mechanics that you kind of have to know to play squad leader. There's only a couple different, you have the responsibility to place down a mobile spawn point, right? So you have to put down a little radio or rally point, which then gives your teammates a place to spawn in. It's important to know how to do that. But beyond the ability to do that, really, if you're confident, you can get on the microphone and talk to the people in your squad. It's going to make for a great experience. And the level of coordination, the communication between teammates over, you know, voice in game makes the immersion, makes the experience really worthwhile.
So there's only squad commanders. It doesn't go higher than that.
So there's squad, and then there's a squad leader or section leader, and then a commander of the entire team of that 40 player team.
Oh, that's, so what is he looking at? Is he looking at a map?
So if you look at kind of, if you think about like the radio channels, if you will, if I'm just like a soldier in a squad, I don't have any leadership responsibility. I can press the V button on my keyboard and just use my voice to talk to people around me. They're able to hear me if they're standing close to me. I can also press B by default and then use the radio to talk to everyone in my squad. The squad leader can do both of those things, but he can also press the G button to talk to his commander. So there's kind of these different tiers of communication.
Right.
The commander then has a direct link to all of the squad leaders. And so their squad leaders are constantly saying, hey, I'm over here. We're getting ready to assault the objective. Can you please call in smoke artillery on this field so we can move to the objective without getting shot? So you'll see like a squad leader position his squad in such a way that they're ready to go take an objective and then coordinate for like a strafing run from an airplane to come through or a smoke barrage from artillery or high explosives or a tank to come in. And that's all kind of coordinated at different tiers. And it's really cool when it works and it all comes together. I think, you know, those moments are relatively rare, but when they happen, it just makes for a really special experience that's hard to replicate in any other genre or in any other game.
Damn, man. Where do I sign up? You got me all fucking fired up, man.
Well, the game is on sale right now, isn't it? They're having a sale for a little while to promote the game.
Yeah, so I think it's usually a $30 game. It's on sale for like $22 or $25 right now. That sale runs through tomorrow. Of course, it's coming off a free weekend, so if you're hearing this for the first time, sorry. But absolutely worthwhile. There's actually everyone who is a member of the Creator Partner Program got free keys, so I've still got like 2 keys to give away. There's a bunch of people still involved, so there's a bunch of free copies of the game floating around for people that are looking to get their hands on it for the first time.
And you don't have to pay for the additional chapters that come out?
No, so it's all free DLC that just comes out, like new factions, new weapons, new maps. In the latest experience I described as the invasion of Normandy, they did the quintessential like beach landing, coming off the boat, Saving Private Ryan style. And then they followed it up with a map where you jump in, you know, like Band of Brothers style, and go a clear bunch of trenches and German artillery out. So it's a pretty cool experience.
And when you, like a new chapter comes out, do you see new models and new things that you haven't seen before?
Yeah. So I think the answer to both of those is yes. Like I said, you know, small studio that started off as a bunch of modders early on, like the maps were a little bit clunky. They upgraded, they're on the Unreal Engine. They upgraded to 1.24, not too long ago. And, so they're at the latest and greatest version of the Unreal Engine, and the new maps look absolutely awesome. They introduce new models, new vehicles. The time period of the uniform adjusts based off of what map you're on. So if you're playing an early war map, the weapons and the way your uniform appears looks very different than if you're playing on a late war map where you now have, you know, the weapons of 1943 or 1944. So it's pretty cool. They even use like aerial imagery of the locations, and so they're geographically accurate representations of the way that those areas looked, you know, whenever the fighting was actually happening.
It's fucking crazy, the attention to detail, man.
It's wild, especially for a small group of dudes. I just, in my interview, I think that's what struck me the most, was just like the level of commitment and passion that this small team of people had for this project. And it made me a lot more patient with like the pace of the way they roll out their updates and the time it takes for them to do the troubleshooting or what have you each time they go through a new release.
Mm-hmm. There's this crazy story. I think it was Arma 3 where the devs were going out and like taking topography of different countries, and fucking like Greece, I think it was Greece or some Turkey, thought they were spies, and they did a year in jail because they thought they were spies when they're out there trying to get topography for the game.
I think that was Arma. Yeah, Arma. I've heard the same story.
Fucking nuts, man. Anyway, Bobby, you got any questions about the game?
No, it looks fantastic. I did listen to your interview, and I want to promote your YouTube channel. I'll link that in the description so people can find that, because you've got a ton of content for this game on there, and I found it really helpful in kind of explaining this game. I remember when it came out, taking a look at it and just being like, ooh, that looks hard. I don't know if that's for me. I do enjoy Battlefield, but man, I don't play first-person shooters like I used to, and Arma was just too much for me. But I don't know, maybe this would be a happy medium. But I definitely want to direct people towards your YouTube channel and definitely check out that interview, which you did a great job on, by the way.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that very much. And absolutely, it's a challenging game. It's definitely a niche game. It appeals to a very certain segment of folks. But but yeah, the people that are attracted to this sort of experience will find, you know, this offering pretty top notch.
Yeah, man, you're super well spoken. I'm glad that you're doing putting content out there. It's good shit.
Appreciate that. Yeah, man. I'm grateful you guys had me on. I've been a fan of the show for a long time, like hanging out in the Discord and catching the streams when I can. And yeah, it's awesome to finally talk to you guys.
Awesome, dude. Thanks for doing this. And you're, sure. I get you got a whole $20 for that's like for half an hour of work, dude. That's $40 an hour, dude. Fucking killing the game over here, dude.
Paid. All right, Control Paris. Well, thanks for calling in, man.
All right, thank you guys. I'll see you later.
All right, later.
We're never sending him that money.
What are you talking about? I mean, I was on top of it last time. I'll take care of it.
Dude, I'm joking. Okay. These are jokes. $40 worth of used Barbie dolls, dude. We're going to ship them over there.
Postscriptum. I wonder why it's called that. I'm sure there's an answer.
Fuck, we should ask them.
Yeah, I know. Now that he's gone, I feel like there's a simple answer. Because that's what PS means, right? When people write PS at the end of the letter, postscriptum.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right. Interesting name.
Huh. Maybe because it's like a look back at, I don't know. We could just speculate.
All right. Time for On the Radar, games that have come to our attention recently, both old and new. The first one I want to talk about is not a game, but a documentary on...
No, you?
Yeah.
A game documentary?
A documentary on Darkest Dungeon, one of my favorite games, and they're making a documentary on it. And I want to play a little bit of audio here, because it's only a 2-minute trailer. It really doesn't show you that much, but just... this little audio bit that they have at the beginning of the documentary, I thought was really, really interesting.
Did they bring the narrator in?
No, they did not bring the narrator in.
They should have.
But it's just the guy speaking about developing. So let me just play a little of this.
Everyone has an idea for a game or an idea for anything. Ideas are cheap. They cost nothing. And it's noisy and awful to tear an idea out of your imagination and make it real, because when you make it real, you imbue it with flaws, because it's only as good as you can make it.
I thought that was just really interesting on game design.
Dude, not just game design.
Well, everything. Yeah.
Everything design. Yeah. Yeah. Jeez.
Just the idea and just bringing that into reality and how difficult that is. But, you guys know I love this game. I have over 200 hours in it. I've been obsessed since it was in beta. And, they've got that new update coming up with PvP elements. Darkest Dungeon is just a fantastic game all around. We even interviewed the artist this.
Let's not talk.
That was a long time ago.
It wasn't an artist, actually. It was, I believe it was.
Oh, it was the writer. It was the writer. He had worked on other projects as well.
No, it was a lead dev, dude. I'm pretty sure.
Oh boy, we look bad here. Yeah. No, I swear it was the writer, because he had worked on The Swapper and a few other things.
He didn't write for this.
Okay, then I'm thinking of another guy.
Yeah, you're thinking of another guy.
All right, but it was,
we ruined both of those. Chad and I ruined both of those, but we especially ruined this one. So Chad and I went to a barbecue all day and got barbecued. We were so drunk. We came home and we both loved this game so much. We were so excited and we just fucking blabbed for 50 and burned another bridge. We keep doing these weekly meetings.
Maybe we'll get a redo. Maybe we forgot who we are and we could interview.
Yeah, let's rebrand, dude. It's not too late to be level 6 in the spick, dude.
Oh, God. I want to rewind here and pause just for the people who are watching on Twitch. This guy has a decal on his laptop that I think is so cool. It's an X-Wing, but it covers up the part of the Mac that lights up. So it looks like the cockpit of the X-Wing is lit up.
Yeah,
I've seen these kind of creative decals people put on their laptops. I've never seen that X-Wing one, and I just think that's awesome.
It's pretty dope. He probably, these kind of people, dude, like that guy's probably an artist. He probably just printed that out,
Yeah, maybe he made it himself. Who knows?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Darkest Dungeon documentary, totally down. This is going to be, you can look it up on YouTube, but this is going to be put out by The Escapist, which is actually a site that I'm a big fan of. Big fan of Movie Bob, the movie critic on there. Jim Sterling used to be part of that with the Jimquisition. Now he does his own thing. Also, Yahtzee.
I don't know what he calls that. I forget it.
Yahtzee Croshaw, Zero Punctuation.
Zero Punctuation. Yeah,
he's been a part of The Escapist. A lot of good content there. And so that looks good.
We got an answer from Control Pairs here.
Yeah, we do. So why the name Postscriptum? Postscriptum is, in fact, a self-assumed stance of neutrality. When thinking about the title and visual concept, we wanted to avoid a name that glorified or desensitized war. Certainly not one that hails ideologies over human condition. So just like a neutral stance.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. Wow. All right. What do we got next here?
What do we have? Hypercharged Unboxed?
Hypercharged Unboxed.
God, this looks awesome, huh?
It looks very cool. So you remember that movie Small Soldiers back in the 90s about a bunch of action figures that come to life?
I remember it. People listening, I don't know.
I'm sure they do. That's what this game looks like. You play as action figures fighting against each other in a first-person shooter. This has PvP, but also co-op. And I'm really interested in the co-op aspect of it, because PvP, it's like, well, you got to have a community for that. You got to have people to play against.
Yeah.
But co-op, you can just talk your buddies into buying this game and still have a good time. And I don't know why, but I'm always a fan of small, like being shrunk down and fighting in those environments. There was a Half-Life 2 map back in the day that I just loved like that. That section of Duke Nukem Forever where you get shrunk and you drive a little RC car around and like run into coffee cups. Like, I love that. I love just that whole Honey, I Shrunk the Kids thing. So the idea of playing as an action figure, and it looks like you even jump out of the packaging when you spawn, which is such a cool effect.
Yeah, and I believe that you collect new characters and new skins by like collecting cards, like tradable cards. See that?
Oh, I didn't see that part.
Yeah. And it just adds more to it. Like if you play the video, you'll see that part of the thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if the different toys have different attributes.
Well, it looks like there's like a ninja action figure. There's a soldier one.
Alien.
I'm sure there's different kinds. And that's just
Base building?
Yeah. It looks like
fucking
base building. This. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
This is great.
12-year-old me has a hard on.
Yeah.
I mean, 12-year-old me always had a hard on, but.
This game is in early access. You can buy it right now for $20. God, this might be worth checking out. Okay, I see the card thing that you're talking about.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. It almost looks like perks, maybe. I don't know. Fucking looks awesome. What are the reviews like, Bobby?
The reviews are very positive, but there aren't very many of them.
Yeah.
They're not enough people playing this game, apparently. No.
But DL gaming bump coming up.
Yeah.
But just like you said, the single player with the co-op.
Yeah, like if you can do co-op, then you know your game has life.
Jeez, it looks like so much work went in for so little people playing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Let's get it out there, people.
Yep. Hypercharge Unboxed. Okay, next game, World of Warcraft Shadowlands. This was announced a while ago. The only reason I'm bringing it up right now is because I actually got an email saying, hey, congratulations, you're in the alpha. They just started the alpha, and they've got some really cool ideas at play here that I don't think we discussed when this was first announced. This is obviously the next World of Warcraft expansion, and they always try to do something different and improve on what they did in the last one. And it looks like in this one, a few big things are they're squishing the level cap back down to 60. When you level a character up, you level in the starting area 1 through 10, and then the rest, you pick which area you want to go through. So you can pick Mists of Pandaria, and it's like, okay, that's you 10 through 50 or 10 through 60. That's where you level up.
That's cool.
Actually, 10 through 50, and then 50 through 60, I think, is Shadowlands, the endgame content.
Gotcha.
Also, the big thing that everyone has been testing out in the alpha is this place called Torghast, I believe that's how it's pronounced, Torghast, and it's a roguelike. It's WoW, but a roguelike.
Right.
So you go into a building either as a group or by yourself. There's a procedurally generated map with random enemies in random spots. You fight through that. You gain this thing called amino power, amino core or something, amino something. And
amino acids, Bobby.
Amino acids, yeah. Riboflavin. And you can spend this to get upgrades. You become more powerful as you go through. And if you die, then you get a little something to help you on your next run. So it's basically a roguelike. You can also get different abilities that can then combine with each other, just like in Binding of Isaac, where, you know, you build synergy through these upgrades, these power-ups. So there's a lot of new stuff that they're going to test out and play here. And I think that's a great direction for WoW, at least for their end game content.
I think it's a great idea too. Obviously I'm the roguelike guy over here. Mm-hmm. I just don't, man, it seems like, I just hope they implement it right. I guess loot has always been random, right? But mm-hmm. you should be getting, I guess it's kind of what you're talking about. You should get temporary loot that helps you throughout your...
Yeah, through your run.
Through your run.
When you finish these, I think you earn some sort of currency that you can then spend to get, like, the top-level gear. I'm not sure on that. Then.
What do you think, Bobby? Are we going to check this out?
Dude, I have honestly, God, been giving thought to playing WoW Classic just because I've got the time now, but I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. I don't think I'm going to play the alpha, even though they sent it to me. And here's my theory. I never get into alphas. Anything with Blizzard. They never give me shit. And the minute I step away and swear off Blizzard, they're trying to bait me back in with this.
So. Hey, kid, try this white powder. It's free.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know, man. I don't think I'm going to play the alpha just because I haven't played WoW in a long time. It's very foreign to me. It's a big commitment to get back into it. But yeah,
it does sound enticing, doesn't it?
Yeah. I like the direction that they're going with it. Like, that's a cool idea.
Say you did it. You gonna roll the paladin again?
Oh God, I probably would.
Oh,
I probably would,
dude. You're disgusting.
I love paladins, man. They changed some stuff with World of Warcraft now, the new version, not classic, but the new version. They've changed it so I think Alliance can have Death Knights and Pandas can be Death Knights. Like, they've really made it where everybody can be anything at this point.
I think it's called retail for some reason.
Retail, yeah, that's what it's called. Retail,
but even though they sell both versions,
yeah,
yeah.
But I still would rather play Classic. I don't know, man. But I know I'd be over that so quick.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, dude. What's best case scenario? You're completely addicted and you lose the rest of your life. That's like best case scenario, right?
Yeah, another 3 months.
Like, you love it so much. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, the next game up is Cloudpunk. Cloudpunk is a game that I think we've brought up before.
Yeah, a couple times if I remember right.
But it is now released. It came out April 23rd. This game is, from the reviews, it leans heavy on narrative. It's a story-driven game that there's not a whole lot of action. Some people have even complained there's not a whole lot to do and a lot of, like, mechanics in it, but it's all about the story.
It's a walking simulator, but you're actually in a futuristic taxi cab.
You're a cyberpunk cab driver.
Yeah, it's a driving simulator.
And I didn't, for looking at the videos and the screenshots, that's not what I thought this game was. So I'm still interested because this is developed by Ion Lands. Ion Lands, if you remember, maybe 2 years ago, I played their first game, Phoning Home, and actually enjoyed that. It was a survival game. It was a crafting survival game, but it was the first one that I ever played that actually had a story and an ending. So it wasn't just like go out in the wilderness and build the biggest fortress you can and, you know, check in every day and that's the game. You know, it was actually like, oh, there's plot points and there's things happening and objectives and things you need to do. I know that's been done before. I think Subnautica does it best, but Phoning Home was the first time that I ever really came across that. And I enjoyed it. It wasn't too long. The robot looks like Wally. It was an interesting environment. I had a good time. So that gives me a little hope. If Ion Lands made that game and Cloudpunk is their next one, I'm sure it's good.
Yep. And obviously it's cyberpunky. The graphics are like neons. It looks really cool. And from far away, you can't see the pixelation, but I just saw where like it landed and it looked like really pixelated. So they did a really good job of making it look really beautiful when you're out. And then when you go inside, I guess that's why, you know, it's an indie developer. So they didn't get every last detail when you get in close, but the outside shots, these are gorgeous shots. And there's like sheets of rain coming down. It's very compelling. Very cool.
Yeah, it looks good. I'll probably check this one out at some point. I believe it is on sale for $17.99, typically $19.99. So $20 for this game.
How are the reviews, Bobby?
Reviews are very positive. There's over 600 of them.
Yeah, 85%.
That's not bad.
No, it's not at all. I would say the 15% are people that were waiting to play Crazy Taxi at the arcade.
Yeah, I think...
I assume this was.
Yeah, I thought there was a little more mechanics involved in it, and I think some people were disappointed in that. All right, next up, Sentinels of Freedom.
Yeah, so this is a tactical turn-based adventure, I guess. You know, kind of like an XCOM thing. But it's based on superheroes. And it's so funny because I was just talking to somebody about Freedom Force. Do you remember Freedom Force, Bob?
Oh, yeah, Freedom Force.
Yeah.
I didn't play it, though.
Huh?
I didn't play it.
Oh, it's rough. You know, it's mm-hmm. very early tactical turn-based, so it's hard to play. It's just dated at this point. It was a really good game back then. Mm-hmm. That came out when, like, TFC came out, you know, like a super long time ago. And I feel like there was a lot of, it hadn't been fleshed. XCOM hadn't come out yet, you know, mm-hmm. not the new iteration of XCOM hadn't come out yet. So, which is now the new standard. So, you know, it's hard to go back to that one. So I was really hoping, I was just telling somebody, I wish that a superhero version of a tactical turn-based comes out. And, then I hear about this. Unfortunately, the reviews aren't like... It's mostly positive. It's sitting at 70%.
There aren't very many reviews.
And there's not a lot of people who bought this game or reviewed it. The negative things that I saw about it is that it's a grind fest. You don't do very much damage. You don't feel all that powerful. But looking into a little more, apparently in this universe of... These are actually real comic books. And in that world, the superheroes aren't very powered. It's just like a little bit that makes them special. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's true to form, but whether or not that makes a very good game, who knows? The people that gave it positive reviews really liked it, and then the rest of them just said, you know, everything takes too long. Graphics are pretty simple. I don't know. I got to wait for more reviews to come out before I pull the trigger on this. Or I got to just fucking beat XCOM 2 because it's just been sitting there forever. And I haven't played it, and it's great.
This game is $25.
A little steep, man. A little steep for
a little steep.
Yeah, a little steep for what you're showing, miss.
Yeah, Sentinels of Freedom.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Last one is Fly Punch Boom. What a name.
Yeah. So this is like an episode of Powerpuff Girls. When the action is happening, when they're going ham and they're glowing and they're flying around and beating up the bad guy, it's a fighting game like that. There's really not any like low punch, high punch combos or anything like that.
It looks like QuickTime events.
Yeah, you're playing more of mini games. It looks like all kinds of different QuickTime events and a little bit of like, there's a little missile command in there because I saw like, your character's like flying into space and then coming back, and you can, if as the enemy, you could be in the position to like make them go faster or like hit them away from the planet or into the planet. Apparently you can like knock them into the planet and the planet crumbles. It's just like super over the top.
It's like an anime fight.
Yeah. But like super powered anime.
And it looks great, but the actual mechanics of the game just, they look like a quick time event, but there are health bars. There's also like left trigger. I'm guessing like some sort of like power up bar. Like maybe there's a little bit more at play there. I don't know. Like it looks cool, but as I watched it, I was like, is this fun to play?
I feel like it's at least fun for a day. What's that day going to cost me, Bobby?
It almost seems like one finger death punch. It looks cooler, but you're actually doing something very simple.
Yeah, exactly.
The game is free. Okay.
There we go. It's a winner.
All right. Well, can't complain there. Fly Punch Zoom free. Oh no, this is just the demo.
Oh yeah. Well, free, it's demo. Worth checking out. I'll try to check this out this week.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, the art is close as I can say is kind of like what I said earlier, Powerpuff Girls, just not quite as detailed.
Yeah. Free demo. I mean, why not?
Yeah. Why not?
All right. Time for highlights, games that we have played this week. I guess I'll start off with Fort Triumph here. This game is yet another tactical turn-based game. And I was afraid I was going to get burnt out on these because I've been playing so many, but Fort Triumph does something different here with the combat. First of all, it mixes two genres. It's tactical turn-based, but then the meta game, like the game outside of that, is, they say it's similar to Heroes of Might and Magic. I have not played that. I can't speak to that.
I believe that they're famous for like having a lot of units. I think you have like 8 people in your group makeup of Heroes of Might and Magic.
I saw some of like the videos of the different Heroes of Might and Magic games throughout the years. It's an older series, and I don't know, it didn't seem very similar to this game, but that's how they advertise it.
Okay.
But what I would describe it as is more of kind of a grand strategy game. So you have a larger map, you can move your army around that map, you can have it engage with enemy characters, pick up items, you can have it reinforce a fortress. Then you have a fortress that you can upgrade so that you get other bonuses, you can get items. You know, there's a lot going on in this game, and I do enjoy the two parts of it, the tactical turn-based combat and then this larger grand strategy part. The combat part, the tactical turn-based combat, is different than any other turn-based combat I played. It is really heavily relying on what they call physics, or other games might call it environmental damage. So they really push you towards knock this thing over, have it land on that enemy and stun him, or kick this and send the enemy flying into another enemy. He sends that enemy flying, or he knocks into another enemy. They're both stunned. They run into a cauldron. Now this is on fire. So it's almost like you're playing pool. Like you're trying to line up shots, and it's actually really fun.
Based on what you're saying, it reminds me a lot of Enter the Breach.
I did not play that.
Okay. There's a lot of that, like push this guy one space this way. But this is a lot prettier for sure.
It's a good looking game. It's not terrible. It's not astounding, but yeah, the graphics are totally fine. It does the whole character follow thing. And then when you get a kill or an attack that hits, it zooms in for a real cinematic look. I turned that off after a while though. I didn't care for that after a while, but I do enjoy the physics part of it. That's something new and it's a fresh idea. And it's actually kind of fun to kind of ping pong enemies around and see how many chains I can get in a combo, if you will.
So in a combo, you mean like you might hit a guy towards the next guy in the lineup, you know, like,
yeah, so
you might hit
two
it
guys,
towards the next guy that's up in the chain of who's going up.
Yeah,
and then,
so I'm standing next to a big rock. I can kick that rock into an enemy. It sends the enemy flying back into another enemy. Both those guys are stunned. Another thing I can do is like the archer has a grappling hook. I can grapple a tree and pull it down on top of somebody. You can also upgrade these abilities when you get more XP. So I can choose which way I want the tree to fall. Also, you can do things like if I kick this guy My paladin has attack of opportunity. So if any enemy crosses his path, he'll attack it. So I'm going to kick this guy and do damage from the kick. He's going to go sliding past my paladin, who's going to get an attack of opportunity and finish him off. So you can almost create these combos as well.
Would you say it's the primary mechanic? It sounds like it is.
You can just do flat out damage and try to kill people as well. But you get the, it gives you a rating after each fight. The game kind of pushes you towards that.
But that's okay because it's enjoyable.
Yeah. I'm having fun with it. But here's the problem, though. I tried to clear the entire map. And, you know, outside of the battle, when you're wandering around the map, I cleared the entire map each time. And when you move on to the next stage or act or whatever they call it, you can only take four of your characters and one of your items with you. So I spent all this time gathering all these resources, doing all this stuff. And then it was like, oh, all that stuff's gone. Bring four characters with you. So I wasted a lot of time doing that. And now I'm at a point where my characters feel way too powerful and the game is just too easy. I'm just cleaning up. I left it on normal difficulty. You have to, if you want to enjoy this game at all, you have to put it on the next level of difficulty, which they call classic.
Okay. Could you adjust it on the fly?
No.
You have to start a new playthrough.
Unfortunately not. Yeah.
Did you?
No, because I was too deep into the game. Another thing about this game, and I'm not saying it's a problem with the game. It's probably with me. I'm not enjoying the story. There's no spoken dialogue. It's all text, and it's all very generic fantasy dialogue. Right. It's just like, okay, there's a princess in trouble or something, a castle, whatever, So I started clicking past it. Now, of course, I've missed enough of the story where I don't understand anything. So if I tried paying attention to the story now, it wouldn't make any sense to me. So I don't know.
Is the 4X part of the game enjoyable?
It is, but it feels very small. You get a certain number of steps that you can walk each turn, and you try to do as much as you can. You can build multiple armies, too, but my initial army is so powerful, I haven't found the need to. So I'm hoping that this game gets to a point where it becomes challenging. I feel engaged. I feel invested. But right now, I'm not. I feel like I'm just kind of doing chores, just getting through it.
And I feel like it's not going to happen unless you change the difficulty level.
Yeah, here's the thing too. When I start a new game, it gives you options of where you want to start and what race you want to be. All those options are locked for me right now, and I don't know why.
Oh.
We're watching a guy play right now. He's playing as the trolls. The trolls can't be stunned. They've got other different benefits and some downsides. And, I want to play with other races and really experiment with that, but I'm stuck on the boring old humans right now. So I don't know.
Do you think you'll unlock those when you finish the game, or it's in early access and that's not there yet?
I'm thinking either it unlocks when I finish the campaign, or I can only have one campaign at a time, but that doesn't seem right. I don't know. Like, I'm a little confused here, but
It could be that there's, you'd be surprised how many off, because I want Sam to play games a lot of times, and there's only one save file on like a lot of games, dude.
This one has like 20 of them. You can see it when you go to save. It's like a ton of different slots. So I don't know, but I'm 10 hours into this game, and I'm like at the 10 hour mark. Granted, I did spend way too much time clearing a map when I absolutely didn't need to. And now I'm just paying attention to what's my objective. Okay, I'll go directly and do that. And it's starting to get more challenging because I'm not just doing 10, 20 little fights and leveling up and then going doing the objective. And that's super easy. So it's a little bit better, but it's kind of like, why should I have to figure that out? Why should I have to figure out how to play your game? You know, this seems like it should be a little more direct. But I don't know. I'm enjoying this game. Like, good. It's pretty good. I'll probably see it through.
It sounds like you hate it, but cool.
No, I mean, I do have a few complaints about it, but overall, I am enjoying Fort Triumph. It's not bad. I enjoy the leveling up. Tactical turn-based is always a good time.
Cool, man.
This game is, what is it, $20? $25. Okay. $25, and it came out just April 16th. So it's pretty new. It's not in early access.
Just looking at it from what you've said and what I can see here, it seems like I would want to spend all my time on the battlefield. I hope that's the bulk of the game.
It is.
Okay, good.
Yeah, that's cool. The majority of the game. All right, nice. Receiver 2.
So this is not something that I would have played on my own. Clown Lotion sent this to me, or the lotion. I asked him why he changed. He said, people think it's way less freaky if you take the clown part out of it. It's like, yeah, dude. I don't know what the fuck you're doing. Anyway, he's such a nice guy, too. Now, so anyway, so he sent it over to me, and So I played it, and I'm like, this is the weirdest game ever. And the whole time, I'm actually thinking, because he sent... We used to have this thing. I guess it's still in play. If you send us a game that's worth $5 or more, we'll play, guarantee to play it.
Should up that to 10.
Yeah, yeah. So I was like, oh, and it's called the receiver. So I was like, oh, this is going to get gay any second now, right? So I was thinking that there was going to be like, it was going to be some sort of joke. So, and then I started playing it, and I still thought it was going to be some kind of joke, because like graphically and the way you move and all that stuff, it really feels like a game design, like somebody's graduating from game design and this was their like thesis or whatever.
Yeah. Like something from a game jam, which you never heard of the first receiver game.
And it was. Yeah.
Yeah. I think exactly the first receiver game was from a game jam.
So this is kind of like a remake. They did say it was two, but it's really, from what I saw, it was a remake. And both of these games are like very well received, highly rated games. And I'm like, okay, it's not a joke. I actually went and looked it up. So I was like, I'll actually give it a fair shake. I start playing it. Holy shit, is this game not for me? It is so strange.
So the premise of the game is it's hyper realistic, right? You are just a gun and you have to do every part of you operating a gun, right?
Yeah.
Including loading the bullets, putting the clip in, cocking the gun, turning the safety off, like every little thing that goes along with.
It's almost a gun safety course in a way. Okay. And that would have been fine. Like I think because I like the turrets and the way the turrets are set up. And by the way, so you can hack the turrets, and that's the only enemy that I've run into. It has one of the most dynamic unlocking hacking systems that I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. It's one of these things where, like, you have to, you know, I don't know what to say, what to relate it to, but you kind of tap the button and try to keep the meter in a certain area without going too far or too low.
Yeah.
And okay. If you go too far, it'll set it off. So you're trying to be, it's like just
fishing.
Right.
That's how they do fishing in Stardew Valley.
Oh, okay. Just like that then. Except for the fish turn around and shoot you with bullets. If you fuck up. So I enjoyed that. I thought that was really well done. But yeah, like I said, I mean, it just seems like these are all generic, graphics from like when you download a graphic builder or whatever, an engine. These are just like assets that come with the set. Anyway.
And I thought the first receiver was free, but this one is $20.
Yeah. So let me see. I got some notes here.
$20 seems like quite a bit for that type of game.
Yeah. The guns are so realistic that every pin and spring is modeled inside the game, inside the gun. I don't know if you could like pull them apart. I don't know why they would go to that depth, but I didn't see anything where like you can go and do that. But that's what it claims. Let's see. There's no direction at all. You're on this really big level, and I guess it loops around because I never found an end. And you have to find these really obscure little things, which are tape recorders or tapes for a tape deck.
Okay.
And when you pop them in, you start listening to it, and this like really breathy guy starts talking about like mindset and having the right mind for shooting guns. And some of the stuff is like really informative, like, oh, this makes sense. Yeah, he's making sense. And then he just starts going off the rails about like, I don't know, like dark thoughts and where you should keep your focus. And I don't know. It was really strange, man. And let's see. So, yeah, I said like it has really good reviews, despite me feeling like it should be called Incel Trainer 2020. Like, I'll tell you where I gave up, and so did my character. My character gave up, and so I did, right? Somewhere around the second level, halfway through the second level, he's talking about, like, feelings and, like, being focused and all this shit. And I start turning the gun on myself, and I see that he's going to commit suicide. So I just start pulling off, just pulling the trigger, trying to get rid of it, empty the... And I guess I didn't do it fast enough, and I killed myself. I don't know what I did to trigger this, and I have no inclination in figuring it out. Like, I don't care what I did, because I don't want to figure it out. I don't care about the game anymore. So I, what's cool about refunds on Steam is from gifts, you don't refund it and get the money. You can let the person who sent it to you refund it. Does that make sense?
Okay, so the person who gifted it to you also has to do the refund?
Yeah, but okay. Now he has the ability to, where he didn't before, because he gave it to me. You know what I mean? See. So, yeah, that was... I don't know. If you're really into guns and, like... it didn't even feel that accurate to me. Like, I don't know. I really don't get it. It's strange. It's super strange to me. I'm wrong. I'm clearly wrong, because everybody thinks that this is a great game. I don't get it whatsoever.
Applesauce 33 gave it a thumbs down.
This is true. This is true. Me and Applesauce, we work together. We are simpatico.
He misspelled applesauce. But Wizard Artifice gave it a thumbs up.
It's true.
Oh, God.
Dude, I am burning up, dude.
Yeah, it's hot like, selling
I'm here. Sitting in a pool of sweat.
This game looks terrible. I don't know. Maybe
it looks terrible, right? Dude, I don't know why people like this game.
I feel bad saying that about games, but no thanks.
And the guy that's talking on the tapes, he's like super breathy. And he's just like, you need to control your overmind. The overmind is coming. And he's like,
Yeah, no, I don't need that in my ear.
No.
All right. Well, let's move from disappointment to disappointment here. I played... Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, I heard how this went.
I played Dwarfheim.
You want water now?
No, I'm good.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm a camel. I just tank up. I played Dwarfheim here, and when I say disappointment, that's a little harsh. Let me just start by saying they have some amazing ideas at play here that I didn't realize. I'm actually going to wait till Emilio gets back before I talk about that, because I want to tell him about it. What happened was they released a beta, and I managed to get into it, which I was very excited about. Dwarfheim is an RTS, 1-4 player co-op or versus mode. I think you can do like 3v3, 2v2, 4v4, but you're all controlling the same city, like four people in one town fight against four people who control another town. And it's all dwarves. So I was like, yeah, this looks great. I'm in. But the beta ran so poorly, I could not get it to work, and I was extremely disappointed about that. I tried with Sniper for about an hour to get this game running, and we could not make it happen. There were just so many things about the game, just fundamental things that were not working. I'm surprised they put it out in that condition. So very disappointed about that, but the potential for this game is amazing. I totally see. I did a little bit of the tutorial, and I totally see what this game is about now, and I'm really excited for it. I can't wait to play this game once it's functional. So what it is a co-op RTS game, and I'm surprised nobody has ever done something like this before. You control the same city, but you're doing different roles. It takes everything that you would do in an RTS game, and it splits it up between characters. So they have one person who is the fighter. They control the armies. The fighters can also help with gathering resources. They have someone who's the builder. They're taking care of building all the structures and managing the resources. Another person is the miner. The miner is in a completely different part of the map, underground in the caves, and he's basically playing Factorio. Like, that's what he's doing. So you have one person on your team playing Factorio. He's setting up conveyor belts. He's mining ore and putting it in there and sorting it and forging it, and then he sends it up to the builder, who then gets those resources and can build stuff with it. And then the fighter's out there killing creeps or fighting the enemies and also helping a little bit with gathering resources.
Is it PvE or PvP?
It's both. It's both. So you can play, like, I guess, a wave survival, I assume, type mode, where you can have 2-4 players. And, I said the three classes, miner, builder, and fighter. But the one that they have not completed yet is called a diplomat. No idea what that one does yet, but the potential that, like, right there, that excites me so much. I know I never played Factorio. I'm scared to play it because I don't want to get, it's just one of those games where you're just gonna, like, sink hours into it, and the next thing you know, the sun comes up. You know, I'm sure I would enjoy it, but I'm sure it'd be a little much for me. But I like the idea of one person being like, I love that type of game. I want to build the conveyor belts and play Factorio on my own and just do a really good job at that so I can help you guys out. And then the builder is like, you know what? I'm not good at micromanaging or combat or anything, so I'm just going to do all the building stuff. And then the fighter is like, all right, I'm going to do all the action stuff. I'm going to handle the fighting. And I mean, how has that never been done before where they split up those roles? You know, I love games where they split up roles, especially co-op games where everybody does their job and that all comes together for the greater good. And that's exactly what this does in an RTS.
I assume it's because it's fucking hard, man. Because you're making three different games, you know, different mechanic systems.
What's your template here? What other game are you basing this off of? You know, tough. You have nothing. Yeah, they're really, I think, forging a new path with this. And I'm excited to play this game whenever it's playable. But that beta was just rough, and I was very disappointed in that. But also excited at the same time. Like, my excitement also increased my disappointment, you know?
That's good. So yeah. Your excitement didn't wane, even though...
Yeah, because when we first talked about this game, we're like, okay, Dwarfheim, it's a game where it's like an RTS, but co-op, all right, that's been done before. Maybe they're doing something different. Who knows? You know, that's all we left it at. We didn't really know. Now I have a good idea of what this game's all about, and I like it. Yeah, I like it. So, yeah, Dwarfheim, it says fall of 2020. It's not that far away, I guess. Right. And no price point on this yet. They do have a Steam page.
Pre-corona that they put that up there. So who knows how much work is getting done or not getting done right now.
Yeah. And, you know, I mentioned this on Twitter, and one of the devs actually responded to me, which was very cool of them.
Cool. So, are you going to talk to them after shitting on their game?
I didn't shit on it, man. I just said, hey, dude, if it worked, this would be fantastic. Like, this is an incredible idea here.
Yeah, it is. I remember one game a long time ago tried the commander being like a top-down view, and then I think it was like Indians for some reason, Native Americans. They looked like Native Americans. It was called like Warpath or something like that. And he controlled actual people, not just units. Hmm. So they tried to do an RTS, but it was more like on the combat side. It didn't have the resources and the base building. Okay. Yeah. Anyway.
All right. So yeah, Dwarfheim, high hopes, man. Got high hopes. That's a dwarf joke.
Yep. They all have high hopes. So Space Hulk Deathwing fell on my lap last night, kind of late. My nephew just sent me a copy. So first thing I got to say is two versions were sent to me. One was the original, which is not being supported anymore, but the online worked and everything was kind of fine. But the enhanced edition, which is, according to my nephew, better in every way, I'm not going to talk about because I couldn't play it because my ultra wide, something between my ultra wide and my second screen, I just couldn't do anything. I tried looking for help. Nobody was having my issue. So unfortunately, I only got to play the first one. So this is like, it plays a lot like Vermintide, which makes a lot of sense because it's a Warhammer game trying to be Left 4 Dead, right? So, except for it's the 40K edition. So, instead of bows and swords, you have flamethrowers and fucking heavy bolters. You play as the, I guess, the Deathwing faction of, that's their chapter, right, of these Space Marines. Mm-hmm. And they got the whole thing going on, the whole Space Marine thing, if you're familiar with it. There's six different classes. And within every class, there's a bunch of different loadouts. There's probably like anywhere from 4 to 7 loadouts per class. So there's a lot of variety right off the bat, which is pretty nice. And within each one of those, you can like unlock stuff, like 5 levels of that version of whoever you're playing. And they seem to have a lot of differences between them, just between their armor and stuff like that, but also their special abilities. So you have your gun, you have your parry, you have your block, and then you have 4 special abilities that are all on a cooldown, including an ultimate, which is your number 4 button, which you don't have right at the beginning, so I can't speak on those yet, but they sound pretty awesome from the description. This game does not hold your hand. It is pretty fucking hard. Let's see. So there's a mix of movement, like moving combat, kind of like Left 4 Dead, where like, why would we just stand here and keep fighting? Because they're just going to keep coming. Bobby, you told me that a million times on Left 4 Dead. Like, we got to keep moving, right? Mm-hmm. So it's the same kind of thing. But unlike Left 4 Dead, there's doorways, which are kind of like a resource in a way, because you can hack it. It'll sometimes they just open. You could spend the time to hack it, or you could just punch through it, right? But then the downside of that is once you get through, you can't close it and protect your back anymore.
Oh,
so you got to kind of like balance how fast you're moving versus, you know, all that stuff. How many things are behind you at the time? So I thought that was pretty cool. The enemies are Tyranids, which are very akin to like alien or xenomorphs from the Alien movies. And gene stealers, which are like these creepy motherfuckers that always want to put like fucking syringes in you. I gotta talk about the way this game looks. It sucks that sometimes you can see how much crazy amount of detail went into a game, and it wasn't like a runaway smash hit. You know, it almost makes you feel like shit, man. Like not enough people got to enjoy the countless hours went into making the aesthetic and the feel of this Space Hulk, which is mm-hmm. like this derelict spaceship, right? I mean, if I were to ever, like, if I was an artist and I drew the 40K, I mean, this is it. It looks exactly like what you would imagine these Space Marines go through. It is creepy. It's dark. It's dank. As far as, like, how the game plays, it's pretty fun, actually. The multiplayer is definitely a lot better than the single player. We were having a good time. I would say some classes definitely feel stronger than others. I don't know if how the balancing is. Again, these things are probably all smoothed out in the Enhanced Edition. I wish I could speak on it, mm-hmm. but I wasn't able to play that version. Let's see. It's a pricey game. Where is it at right now?
It's $40.
Yeah, it's $40. It's kind of pricey.
For the Enhanced.
Yeah, for the Enhanced Edition. But if you're done with Vermintide or you played all the way through Vermintide, I think you'll definitely enjoy this. I mean, the voice acting, everything was pretty good. It's not the greatest game in the world, but if you're into the Warhammer series, you probably already bought this. But then again, you could get burnt out on the Warhammer games. Remember when there was like a year where like 8 games came out?
In a variety of genres,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I think they just went crazy with the Cheese Whiz, man. They gave their IP to everybody, and a lot of shitty games came out that year. But this is one of the better ones, for sure.
I do remember this now. This was not the game that I thought it was when you were talking about it earlier.
Yeah, I think you think it was probably the single-player game where you just kind of like cut through a shit ton of goblins.
I was thinking of a completely different game that has somewhat of a similar name. But yeah, I did play. I've only played one Warhammer game in my life, and that was, I don't know, a 40K one from a while ago, maybe like 6 or 7 years ago. And it was all right, but it felt very much like a console game. But I do, I mean, this is like a Left 4 Dead type game. I like that idea.
Yeah, I can probably get you a copy, dude. There's some copies floating around.
I'd check it out.
Cool.
250 people playing, so it's got a bit of a community.
Maybe, well, I always say things like, maybe you can do this after the podcast. Literally nothing ever happens after the podcast. I forget, and Bobby wants to get the fuck out of here as soon as possible. Unless he eats. Sometimes he eats.
Yeah. All right, so that's Space Hulk Deathwing. I realized my dwarf joke didn't make any sense because I was thinking of hi-ho, hi-ho, instead of high hopes.
Oh.
Song, High Hopes.
No, I thought that you had... it made sense to me because they're short, and I thought they all had high hopes.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going the other way.
Let's go with that, then.
Okay, let's go with that. I was like, oh, Bobby's a comedy genius. That's what I was thinking. Now, not so much.
Whatever gets the laugh. All right. Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite.
Yeah, I finished it. So, this is not a good game, guys. It's probably the worst reviewed, and also, my opinion, of the 4 Marvel vs. Capcom games, this is the worst one. It's just the newest one. But, as I said last week, or whenever I talked about it, it's just dumb fun, you know? And they put a lot of work into the story mode. And you get to see, like, crosses that you'll never see before. Like I said last week, Hulk and Ryu taking out a dragon. This week I saw, like, there's a dragon form of Venom. And he was getting fought by, like, the guy from, Frank West. He's the guy in that mall game, Bobby, that puts all those different things together in the mall and kills zombies. Remember that game?
In the mall game?
Yeah, there's a guy, Frank West.
Yeah.
So, like, you play as him, and it's funny.
Dead Rising?
Yeah, Dead Rising.
Okay.
He has to go up against, like, Thanos at a certain point. He's like, what? He's like, he's going to kick my ass. There's no way. I got to fight Thanos. You know, it was kind of funny. And they poked fun at themselves a lot of time during these cutscenes. But I enjoyed the cutscenes, man. It was cheesy, but, like, it was a merger between – it felt exactly – what it was. It's a merger between American comic books and Japanese video game, worlds. And they come together and the comedy comes together and I giggled here and there. I mean, it's free on Xbox Game Pass. If you're bored, it's worth the time. The last bad guy was really fucking hard, man. It was like a ultra version of Ultron. Ultra version of Ultron. Yeah. There you go.
This game is $40 on Steam, but free on the Xbox Game Pass.
Exactly. Yeah. JP Diddy, he downloaded it because his kid's way into like Marvel right now. And he's like, oh, he loves all these characters. So I was like, yeah, just put it on way easy, dude. And just let him play. Like, that's probably the most enjoyment that like it's possible to get out of it. Because all the characters are there. Hawkeye and, you know, and then a bunch of Capcom characters. They're just written pretty well. I don't know. I want somebody else back me up on the writing because, like, I know it's bad, but it was good. You know what I'm saying? Let's see. Oh, yeah. And then, like, when I was done with it, I was like, you know what? I kind of feel like getting good at this and going online. And then I was like, what am I doing? I don't have time for this. It's a dead game. It was made 3 years ago, but, you know, there's not a lot of support behind it. I don't think it's even at Evo anymore. So, yeah, I had a good time for
102 people playing on Steam, though. Most people are probably playing on
Xbox,
yeah.
I would say it was probably less on Xbox, dude.
Yeah, I mean, the game came out in 2017. Mm-hmm. So is this franchise, I don't know fighters, but is Marvel vs. Capcom just kind of like one of the weaker franchises? Is it all about Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat, the Nintendo one, Smash Bros?
So Mortal Kombat came out of nowhere like last year. Or the year before they started
to comeback.
Yeah, they had a big comeback. They weren't even at Evo forever because it wasn't really considered that you could cheese a lot of things. There's like things that you could like workarounds and stuff that, you know, people don't want.
It wasn't a true test of skill.
Yeah, exactly. And then now they're making really good games and it's one of the more popular games at Evo. There's been certain points, like I feel like Marvel vs. Capcom 2 might have been. Yeah, I think at the time it was more popular than whatever Street Fighter was out at the time, which is probably 3, which is not a good Street Fighter. It's like Street Fighter 3 is probably the worst one. Yeah. I had one of these games on
Sega Saturn. I had a Marvel vs. Capcom game on there, and I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, probably the original one. Sure. Dude, I would play this so much at the arcades. A little bit, you know, a lot of the reason I played this is a little bit of nostalgia, too. Or just to see where it went. I was pretty fucking good at part 2 and part 3 at the arcades, but you know, that's not there anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm recommending it. If you really like the Marvel movies, this is like another take on the same story. So I don't know what I'm saying.
If you got the Game Pass, maybe.
Fuck it. Yeah, if you got the Game Pass, fuck it. Especially if you got a little kid that's way into Marvel right now.
Hmm. Yeah. All right. Is that it for highlights?
I think so.
All right. Thank you to the Tyler for that subscription. All right. We're moving on to news. Or you want to get to this surprise that you spoiled earlier?
Oh, yeah. Let's do that.
Which you forgot about.
Do you know what it is? I did. No. See?
But you told me yesterday. You're like, oh, Bobby, there's going to be a surprise tomorrow. Like,
yeah.
That's not how you do surprises.
It is. Awesome would it be if I walked in naked?
Oh, God, that's not the surprise I'm looking for. Oh, my, that's huge. What is that? Oh, my God. All right. That's pretty heavy. All right. We got a large present here.
This comes from JP Diddy. There's a label on it. Don't read the label. I don't want you to know what it is until you open the box.
Don't read the label. Okay. Got going to tear off the wrapping.
Maybe I should have got you a machete. Can you read the wrapping paper?
The wrapping paper says, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays.
That's all we had, so enjoy it.
All right. Do you have your knife on you? I could cut this tape. Oh, it's open.
No. Let's watch you struggle. And dead air is fun, too.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to make lots of noises while I open this, so people know that something's happening. I'm going to open it upside
They were
down.
All out of silent wrapping paper, dude. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, that's okay. All right. Let's turn this around and take a look. Oh, my God. That's a lot of popcorn. That's a lot of popcorn. This is like gourmet popcorn, too.
Yeah,
pizza roll popcorn? Are you kidding me?
So a few episodes ago, if you weren't around, I asked Bobby, because he used to be a man of very many vices.
Many.
And now he's a man of no vices. So I was like, dude, do you have any vices whatsoever? And he was like, well, I ate a lot of popcorn when I'm at my girlfriend's house. JP Diddy took that, and now... Let's read off these sound effects. Let's read off these flavors, dude.
Dude, that's amazing. You're telling me JP Diddy had this shipped here?
Yes.
That is amazing. Dude, thank you so much, first of all. I'm going to eat this on stream right into the mic just to punish everybody.
And JP, let me run this by you. Once I explained this to Sam and Mila, what this was, I had to beat them away with a plastic wiffle ball bat to keep them away from the gourmet popcorn that was intended for Bobby. I said, we can't touch this until Sunday, only if Bobby wants to share. Do you understand? So Mila was like, what's every day since then, since Friday? She's like, what's today? Until I said it was Sunday. She goes, it's popcorn day? And I was like, no, there's no guarantee Bobby's going to not be tyrannical with this.
Like, I'm not going to share. Okay.
What are the flavors, dude?
This one that I'm eating right now is called Summer Lovin', and you got to try it. It tastes like Skittles or like Fruit Loops, dude. This tastes like Fruit Loop popcorn. This is ridiculous. Very sweet.
Mm.
We got Bourbon Spiked Salted Caramel.
Mm.
I don't know if I can have that one. This one I'm very interested in. Pizza Roll. All right. Pizza Roll popcorn.
Let's give a shout out to who they are. Is it Almost Famous Popcorn Company? Is that right?
Almost Famous, yep.
Cool. Yeah. And they're
there's a message in there. Dearest Bobby, we will always have Wiener Snitch. Please consider sharing with the rest of the DLG crew, JP Diddy. We will always have Wiener Snitchel. We'll have to go to Wiener Snitchel when you come out here.
Did you guys go together?
No, it's a joke. So one episode I talked about how when I was a little kid, I got lost. And there was like a parade or something in town. And my parents took me there, and then they lost me. And then they found me, and I was at Wiener Snitchel.
Mm.
So then during DLG Con, JP Diddy was wearing a Wiener Snitchel shirt, and he said, yeah, I heard you tell that story, and I thought maybe you could get lost inside of me. So.
And then it happened. And then somehow he found himself.
Yeah. Okay, the pizza roll one does kind of taste... It tastes like Combos, the pizza.
That's what I was going
to
say.
And I am disgustingly addicted to those things, man.
So notice that he didn't let me taste that one.
Do you
want to
try...
No, I think you want... I want you to have 100%
of those. After the show, I'll bring these out. We'll try all of them.
Okay.
We got Land O'Lakes Cheddar Cheese. Land O'Lakes. Mm. Yep. Gotta love that. They just changed their logo, too, of that Native American lady.
What did they change it to?
I don't know what they're changing it to. A bunch of lakes? I think they're... Yeah, probably. They're just taking away the Native American lady. Monster Cookie. All right. So you got some cookies going on there. Yeah, this is all going to be gone in less than a week. I guarantee you. Like, I'm not even joking. We got the classic butter right there. Mm-hmm. You got to have that. And we've got Fire-Breathing Dragon, which is the only other one I'm going to try right now.
Let's go. Mouthful. Let's do a mouthful.
I mean, this one looks like it has so much on
dude.
It.
Dude.
If it really is spicy, that's not going to be good.
Mm.
Okay, it's not too bad. I just got a little in the throat. A little too much powder on that.
It's not too...
Oh, no. Okay, now my fingers are all gross. All right. Well, JP, thank you so much, man. That is incredible.
Dude.
We'll share.
If there's no other span or, like, measure tape of you doing the right move here, Bobby's being unprofessional. For the first time on any episode, he's kind of losing his shit here. This is his version of losing his shit. His fingers are all dirty. His headset's off.
There you go. I'm pulling it together. Which one is that? Oh, wrong way.
JP, do you know if they do online shipping? Do they ship to people? This is not a commercial. I just want to make sure they get their just dues because this is good stuff. They do. Yeah. So Almost Famous Popcorn Company. Yeah.
Almost Famous.
Yep. That's a local. And we got to support local business if ever.
Yeah. Now's the time to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're still here when all this craziness is over.
Yep.
Out of Iowa. All right. Well, they make a hell of a popcorn.
Dude, thanks, man. That played really well, too.
That was great.
That was good content.
All right.
Man, that looks awesome, dude.
All right. Let's talk about a little news here. We've only got two stories, so let's get through it. First one is Doom Eternal. Little drama surrounding the soundtrack here. Doom Eternal's officially released soundtrack is a poorly mixed mess that composer Mick Gordon barely had a hand in. So Mick Gordon was the guy who was helping to create the music for Doom Eternal, and it was a big deal because this guy's very talented. Everyone was very excited that he was working on it. There were all these behind-the-scenes videos. Like, it was a big deal. And then on social media, people were like, this is actually mixed very poorly. And I'm no audio engineer. I can't really tell. But a
on
lot of
my review, I said it was the worst part of the game. I'm pretty sure.
The music?
Yeah. I was like, how was the music from 2016 better? The way that it was put in, for sure, it was the worst part of the game for me.
Yeah, I think you were talking about the way they implemented it.
Right.
So it didn't really ramp up like it used to. But yeah, people were talking about the way it was mastered or mixed. And if you don't understand how that works, you can look at this article on criticalhit.net, and they have some good screenshots that show you a comparison to something from Doom 2016 that was mixed well, and then the current Doom that wasn't. So you can actually visually see the difference in the waves there, and they kind of give you a good explanation on how that works.
So the famous guy created the stuff, but it was just not...
He did not mix it. He only mixed a few tracks. According to some tweets and some comments he made on YouTube videos, he only mixed a few of the tracks, but he didn't have any control over it. And he also, when asked if he was going to work with Bethesda again in the future, he said no. He said, there's no way I'm working with them again. So
that's almost like basis for a lawsuit, man, because like, doesn't that kind of drag your name through the mud a little bit?
Maybe. I don't know what the legality of that is, but it's still Bethesda's property, right? I guess. So I guess they have a right to do it. I did also hear a rumor. This is very unfounded. I think it came from like a Reddit comment, but someone said there's going to be a Mick Gordon mix of the music. So he's going to get another chance to...
I wonder if you can like put it in the file somehow.
So it plays in the game. I doubt it.
So somebody will make some sort of like modding tool or something.
Yeah.
If this continues to be a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm not like a huge audiophile, so I probably wouldn't have picked up on this, but apparently to people who know what they're talking about, this is kind of a big deal. And that's really unfortunate because this guy does have a big reputation.
Yeah.
I'm glad he's clearing his name at least.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. All right, next bit of news. Resellers are using bots. Resellers using bots are the reason Switch prices are so high.
Yeah, so I just assumed that there's just super high demand, and that alone was the driving factor in the prices being $500-$600 per unit.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently the people that do the sneakerhead type thing, you know, they buy all the stock and then they resell for higher prices.
They set the price.
Yeah. They have a bot called like SneakerBot, and that they use that buys all everything that's available. And then, you know, they sell from the garage or whatever, mm-hmm. or the back of their car. One of the guys that writes those things, he's like, somebody's like, hey, we should sell Switches too. And that guy's name is Bird. His last name is Bird or whatever. So they named it BirdBot, and now nobody has Switches. Like, basically, that's all that's happened. Sneakerheads stole all the fucking Switches. And
that sucks, man. Because
and kids are crying everywhere, man.
There's a lot of people that could use a Switch right now. If there were ever a time.
It's so true, man. It's so true. But yeah. Do you need it $400 worth? Do you need it $500 worth?
Yeah.
I told my buddy, I was like, so he's been out of video games forever. He's never even been in video games. So he calls me. He's like, dude, we're going crazy over here at the house. Like, do I get an Xbox or a PlayStation? I think I told that story. I was like, mm-hmm. no, dude, you have a 4-year-old. You get a Switch. He's like, who the hell is that? He didn't even know. And yeah, he spent the $700 on day one. Which, yeah.
Damn.
For that and some games, but yeah.
But what was the release, the MSRP on a Switch? Like when those were
$299. But it's never changed. Okay. I mean, sometimes they'll go on sale for a little bit, but mm-hmm. for the most part, it's $299.
That's very reasonable.
Yeah, for sure.
Wow.
Especially you can play The Witcher on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. You know what's so funny is that we play a disgusting amount of Binding of Isaac, me and Sam. Sam mostly. And there are times in Binding of Isaac where there's slowdown. And I'm like, okay, the processor can't process this. You know, there's like these fart bombs that go off.
When you're playing on the Switch.
Oh, you're playing on the Switch, yeah.
Okay.
And I remember I was watching the developers talking about the new expansion coming out for Binding of Isaac. And they're like, oh yeah, you know, we're doing things on this new expansion that the Switch won't be able to run. And then somebody's like, how can you run Zelda, but you know, Breath of the Wild, but you can't run. He's like, well, we use a lot of particles, and our particles go further than what they do on that game.
Yeah.
And it's evident. So there's these like little poops that you can put down that are like bombs. And when you blow it up, there's like poop spray all over the screen. It's kind of like a fog of poop. Mm-hmm. And anyway, it might as well double as a slow motion bomb because the Switch cannot handle it. Yeah.
Wow. It's kind of like when you play some games on emulators on a PC. Like, mm-hmm. you have a super powerful PC, but there's something happening that's causing it to slow down incredibly.
That's probably just in the code, right? Because
Yeah. That's in the code. All right, time for listener questions. First one, we've got a hypothetical question. Always love these. This one's from Sniper.
Very quickly, let me cut in. Bobby told me on our last meeting that this is when I can get shit-faced. Is that the listener question?
This is when you can put the beer hat on.
It's true.
All right. You and your significant other plan an evening away to a romantic retreat. However, plans were misinterpreted, graphs held upside down, and the romantic retreat is now a gaming-themed retreat. You and your significant still want to get down and dirty like nature intended, but you get to pick the gaming theme of the romantic retreat. What game do you pick?
Hmm.
So what gaming-themed romantic event?
Well, does it have to be?
I mean, they've already got Final Fantasy weddings.
Right. I would go with The Witcher 3, the last DLC. It's like basically a perfect version of like Tuscany. It's fucking gorgeous. It's almost like a fantasy land. Everything's brightly colored. There's rainbow versions, rainbows in the sky all the time. What is it called?
I remember you talking about this.
Yeah. Where's the DLCs?
Hearts of Stone?
No, it's the other one.
Beard and hairstyle set?
How is it not on here?
Oh, see all. Oh, my God. Look at all that DLC.
Oh, man.
Blood and Wine. That's
Blood and Wine. That's the one.
20 yep. bucks for that.
Yeah, it's worth it, dude.
Overwhelmingly positive, yeah.
Yeah. It's just a gorgeous, gorgeous place. I feel like the developers were like, just like, I'm tired of like everything being in the muck and the dark.
Mm-hmm.
Let's brighten everything up. And that's what they did. And it's just like a beautiful fantasy setting.
It's very scenic.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a good setting. Better than Binding of Isaac.
Why don't you grab a bag of that popcorn and sit over here, Bobby. I like these vistas that we're getting.
It's already too hot in here.
Imagine snuggling up with a fat guy, a fat hairy guy, dude. Is it not the worst thing you can think of? Jeez.
That doesn't sound great in the summer. Although in the winter, if it were cold. Yeah. I don't know. Romantic themed. You know what I've always liked? Maybe not so much romantic, but I've always wanted to like be in a setting like this is BioShock. Just that, what do they call that? Art Deco?
Yeah.
Like 40s.
But before the chaos, right?
Yeah, before everybody started killing each other. That
Yeah. And doing a bunch of like gene therapy.
Yeah, if you go to L.A., there's the Queen Mary, that big famous boat out there that you can go and walk around on. And that's like being in Bioshock. Like when you walk around that boat, it feels very much like being in Bioshock. I was like, this would be, and they do weddings there, and they do like, I think they have a hotel there as well you could stay at. And I'm like, this is actually pretty cool.
Is that where you're getting married? Is that what you're announcing here today?
On the Queen Mary? Nope. just kidding. Yes. And you're all invited. Yep. Okay. Zap asks, what's the one type of meat you wouldn't eat? Obvious joke, penis.
Right.
Moosecock.
The answer is moosecock.
But seriously, the meat you wouldn't eat.
I don't know if there is one. Yeah, if other people eat it, I'll definitely eat it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
eat
man.
Cat, dog, I don't care.
If like the Kalahari Bushmen are eating bugs, I'd try that.
Yeah, I don't give a shit.
They aren't dead. They aren't dying.
Yeah.
I don't know. Human? Nah.
Yeah, human.
I'd give it a shot.
Well, you can get sick, so I would stay away from that.
Okay. Really?
Yeah. That's a Jacobs Creutzfeldt disease. I got close. I got all the right letters. They're in the wrong order, though. Jacob Creutzfeldt disease.
So they named a disease specifically after one guy who did this?
Yeah, he's the shaky guy in town in the Old West, dude. It was that guy. He was eating all the fucking children.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, all meat's on the table, man.
Yeah, pretty much.
What's the weirdest thing you've simulated via the internet during quarantine? For instance, I've been to 2 live-streamed weddings, also from Zap.
Well, not during the quarantine, I don't think. Simulated. I'm going to say real-life stuff. Birthday parties is now, they do drive-bys.
I did one of those.
Yeah. So we're planning one for next week, and Sam has done one, somewhere else. So, and we're like planning like what time of day is the best time for that. Like there's all these new rules you got to kind of think about.
Yeah. It's weird.
It is weird. Yeah. Although I like it better, dude.
It is kind of nice. Yeah. Especially for the kids ones where it's like, you're not really doing anything there anyway. It's just like, all right, happy birthday. Throw a present out the window.
I'm thinking about water balloons, just throwing them at the cars after they roll up the window.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just give them a little fair warning.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know about warning, but yeah.
I know a lot of people at my work Jacob's ladder disease. A lot of people at my work have been doing Zoom happy hours. That sounds awful, but.
So I was going to review Poker Stars or one of those things. I was supposed to play last night, but it didn't go down. But that's what a lot of like non-gamer guys are doing now, is playing poker online.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. For real money?
Whatever, man. Whatever you can afford, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Next question. This is more of a comment. This is coming from Cubic Zirconia, and he's saying that I am pronouncing G-Force wrong. I was pronouncing it G-E-Force, which I was.
No, he's not saying it's wrong. He says that this is your way, and this is his way.
Oh, no, it's wrong. I looked it up I went to their YouTube channel, and I found a video where they said it, and yeah, they do say G-Force. G-Force, I feel like I always knew that, but for some reason, G-Force sounds weird to me because I always think of that stupid hamster movie with like they were called the G-Force. It was like super.
Wasn't that the same movie with the little fucking soldiers that were toys? I feel like they came out the same summer.
Same
dude.
Universe, maybe? No, yeah. G-Force was afterwards.
Oh, okay.
There might have been a sequel, and they made a video game about it.
Yeah, man. I feel like I always said G-Force, and it's one of these things where, like, I didn't know.
Well, it's spelled
G-E-F-O-R-C-E.
So, yeah, I must have pronounced it G-E-Force, but it is G-Force. So,
okay.
Glad we cleared that one up. Another question from Zap. Who are your favorite tech YouTubers? What tech websites do you go to for news or troubleshooting?
You're the one to answer. I mean, I only listen to Linus if I watch anything.
Yeah. I don't really go to one specific place. A lot of times if I'm looking up something for hardware, I'll Google it or I'll YouTube it and I'll just see whoever has a good video on it. But yeah, I mean, Linus is always great, but I don't know, tech websites for troubleshooting. I don't usually need that. Again, I usually just Google stuff. We do have a channel in DL Gaming where a lot of people post their problems. I used to be on Tom's Hardware all the time. Like that used to be my site. Tweaktown, even before that, I spent a lot of time on.
But you didn't stop because it got worse. It's only because you're just not buying hardware right now, right?
Yeah. I mean, I used to go on there and just see what's the latest news. And that's kind of how I would keep up to date with things. Yeah. But now I don't know. Where I get my information isn't very centralized.
You don't care, Bobby. You don't care anymore.
Yeah, I agree. Tom's Hardware is probably still around, though.
Yeah, but I feel like their forums have probably suffered since everybody's buying shit on Amazon now.
Yeah. Well, you know what was really good? I don't do this anymore, but I did it for a while. Was there's a podcast on the Twit Network, Leo Laporte's Twit Network. They've got a ton of shows. But one of them was This Week in Computer Hardware called Twitch. And that was great because it was very short. It used to be done by two guys. God, I can't even remember their names right now. I can't believe I forgot that. One of them went to go work for Microsoft, so now it's a different guy on there. But very, very smart guys, knew what they were talking about. The podcast was like 40 minutes long, and they deal with heavy stuff. It's hardware, right? So they would go through, and they'd talk about the latest, and they'd just kind of summarize it. And then they'd say, you know, if you want more information, go read the article. And they wrote for PC Per, PC Perspective, or PCPer.com. Which has some really good in-depth hardware articles if you're into that stuff. But it was great because the podcast would just give you a sample. And it's like, okay, I don't care about any of that other stuff, but this new monitor, I want to hear more about that. You know, or this new graphics card, I want to see the benchmarks. So I'll go check out the article. Yeah.
It did stand for Gerbil Force.
Gerbil Force? Oh, GeForce did?
Yeah. Well, okay. Right? That's what they were, right? Gerbils.
It must have been.
Yeah.
Let's get to the bottom of it here. GeForce.
Let's talk about what's really important.
Guardians of Space? No, that's an animated series. GeForce, the video game? Unfortunately, no. I played that. No, that's the one about the hamsters. All right, GeForce was from 2009. It is a family adventure. GeForce, the world needs bigger heroes. Okay. That's the tagline. 22% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Right there.
Guinea pigs. They're guinea pigs.
Oh, God, we're cronies with your fake news, man. I frankly, I'm sick of it.
I know. We're cronies, man. You got to get it together. okay, next question from Warconius. He links a YouTube video here. Thoughts on Battlefield 5's live service ending? What worked and what didn't? If you were to ever get back into Battlefield, what would you want to see? Is single-player campaign important, or would you rather them improve on the Battle Royale experience like Warzone?
And that's a lot there.
Yeah. Well, are you familiar with the situation? So Battlefield 5, games as a service, they had this ongoing thing. They have one more update coming up in June, and they said that's going to be their last one. They'll still support the game. It'll be around, but there's not going to be any new content.
Right.
So a lot of people are saying like, oh, Battlefield 5 is ending. And the game never really did too well, and there's been a lot of pushback from the community over kind of what Control Pairs was talking about earlier, like the time to kill, they changed. They basically made it a lot easier for people, and a lot of people were very upset to that. They played around with a lot of the time to kill and some other mechanics that people weren't happy about. So it's not in a good spot.
Well, it's not just that, but like, isn't it time to start talking about Battlefield 6? Like,
which they have, but they said it's going to be at the earliest fiscal 2022, which is actually April 2021.
But so, a lot of work has to go into that thing.
Yeah.
It's so, a big project. And is going on right now. So was it a failure? I don't think so. I think it made its money. It ran its course. Is it continuing to make money? No. So it's a bad investment at this point. You stop putting money into it. That's pretty much it. It's still, I mean, I still want to go and play the Pacific Theater. I haven't played any of that. The server is still going to be up. I hope that this news doesn't make a ton of people go away, but I feel like it will. I feel like the server, the player base is really going to drop out now.
Well, I dropped out of Battlefield. I used to love Battlefield. Like, Vietnam was fantastic, and then I went back and played 1942, but Vietnam was really my entry point.
How good was the fucking soundtrack to that?
Oh, yeah, that was great. All that licensed music.
Yeah.
But for me, it peaked at 4, I think. 3 and 4 were very similar. 4 was maybe just a little bit better in some ways, but 4 was the peak for me. Then they went to 1, and I was like, they kind of simplified a lot of stuff. I don't really care about it too much. And then 5, I didn't even try. Didn't even try 5. So I still go back from time to time, very rarely, but I'll play 4 every now and then. And that's the kind of Battlefield I like, that really big map, lots of people, vehicles, squad up, you know.
Should have played five, man. It had a lot of that, but, you know,
yeah.
You didn't.
I don't know.
Goddamn obligation, Bobby. You have a video game podcast. It's one of the greatest.
Why do they keep making more of these, though? If for the
'cause it's financially viable.
Yeah, I get, but the video that he linked, the guy was making a strong case against it not being financially successful, the games as a service approach.
Oh, right.
So it seems like that's what they're going to do in the next one. I don't know. I mean, I think that's just the way a lot of things are going. I don't really know what I want from a Battlefield game now. Like, I feel like 4 is still, you know, as good as it got for me.
As far as the single player aspect, I don't care at all about it. I mean, I like good single player shooting
yeah,
games.
Yeah, but that's never been what Battlefield
don't try to do both
about.
At the same time. Yeah. If you're going to have a single player, make it an offshoot. Just have a Battlefield After Dark or something like that. Yeah. Just focus on one thing. And do you want another Battlefield game? I mean, you didn't even like the last one, so.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's just all go back to 4.
What's interesting is what's the Star Wars one?
Battlefront
2?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's still going on, and it's older game than Battlefield 5. So,
and that's doing better than Battlefield 5,
I think. Yeah. Uh-huh. Dude, it's in a really good spot. You should really fucking go play that game.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
It's on... You have it on Origin, right? You still have the Origin? Yeah, maybe I'll check it out. You know what's crazy? Like, everybody forgot about Battlefield 2142. Remember
I have.
That one?
No.
Yeah. That was the one where... I can't remember when it came out, like, after which one. I think it was after Battlefield 2, but it was the one where they tried to go into the future, and it did not.
Oh, yeah, the one in space.
Yeah, yeah.
That's almost when every genre of anything jumps the shark, dude, as soon as they go to space.
Oh, yeah, dude. I was watching the Friday the 13th series, and one of the last ones was Jason X that takes place in space in the future, and it was the worst one.
Yeah.
It was hands down the worst one by a large
margin. Did you finish your fucking stupid fucking 007 thing?
I didn't, man. I lost steam. It's so hard to get through the Roger Moore ones.
Just don't
all
do
the
it, dude.
No, I stopped, and then I watched all the Friday the 13th movies. I'm reading Men, Women, and Chainsaw, so I'm watching, like, so much horror right now, like horror from the 70s and 80s.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
Getting through all that.
Are you enjoying it?
I'm going through a real horror phase, man. I'm eating it up, dude.
Oh, what'd you think of Us?
Us?
Yeah.
I thought it was great. I thought it was great, but not as good as Get Out. Not nearly as good as Get Out.
I haven't seen it, but the only reason I talk about it is because when I was doing a little bit of research for Parasite.
People mentioned, they compare the two a little bit.
No, what's the guy's name? Bong? Bong said when he saw the trailer for Get Out, I mean, for Us, he was shocked at the similarities between his script at the time and what he saw on that thing. Because it's like two families, parallels, but like from different...
Yeah.
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 It's interesting.
Yeah, they kind of tap on the same thing, but it... I don't
know. A way different way.
Yeah. Way different. Okay. Next question from The Livingston. What was your first memorable PC hardware upgrade? God.
You know, I always talk about buying that piece of shit from Gateway that I did.
Yeah.
But I don't remember. It should be the next computer that I bought, which was definitely a gaming PC. I don't remember it at all, man.
So did you buy a gaming PC or did you build your own?
I think I went through like iBuyPower or somebody like that.
Okay.
Yeah, I definitely wasn't building my own one.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I kind of a similar story. I remember building my first computer, and I made the huge mistake of buying all the parts at different times, like whenever I could afford them, and then putting it together once I had all the parts.
They didn't work?
No, they did, but, you know, the price had dropped. Like, the graphics card that I had bought, like, a month or two ago, I feel like prices dropped a lot more back then in the early 2000s than they do now. But I remember I wasted a lot of money doing that. But I remember I was very excited. Like, I remember just pulling out my graphics card because it was one of the first things I had bought and just holding it and looking at it. It was a 9800 XT, an AMD 98, not an AMD, a Radeon 9800 XT. I think those came out in like 03.
And what did you do with it? Sell it? Toss it?
No, I put it in the computer when I got the other parts, and I built my first machine out of it.
Oh, no, the one that you pulled out. The old one. Oh, that was your first one.
Yeah, the computer that I had before that, that couldn't have been my, no, that was not my first computer. This was like,
I feel like when you were building computers at that shop, you must have been like getting a part here and there.
No, not no. What, like getting parts for free?
Yeah, or just buying them at cost.
No, not really. Wasn't getting any big discounts. But I did, while I worked there, I did build like, you know, it was like my magnum opus, I thought, when I was building it. I cut the case myself. I had it powder coated. Like, I designed it all how I wanted. There's pictures of it on my Twitter. If you scroll back in my very short feed, you can check it out. My grainy pictures from my iPhone 3 back in the day. But it was water-cooled. It was like when AMD had the Phenom processors. And it, those ones were the 4870 X2. I had two of them. And I had to warranty one of them. But yeah, that computer, yeah, that was like a big deal when I built it. That was the one where I was talking about last week where I was like, all right, load up Crysis black screen.
Yeah. I feel like after you die, when they talk about your magnum opus, they're going to be like, it was either that computer he built or the podcast is like a few steps below it.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't think anyone's going to remember me for that computer, though. Right. Warconius, with another question, asks, worst game review you've ever read? Read?
I don't read them.
Yeah.
I just look at a number.
Let's say read or heard.
All the positive reviews on Receiver 2. Because I just don't get it. I feel like it's a giant meme. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what to say about that game.
I don't read a lot of game reviews because, quite frankly, I think they're too long. And I want to be real careful because I don't want to, like, call anybody out. But I remember reading the review for PlanetSide 2 on PC Gamer. And it started out, it wasn't a bad review, but I remember it started out with, like, trying to put you in the setting. Like I sat in the gunner seat rolling or cruising through the rolling hills, my partner at my side, gun ready to go. I'm just like, okay, no. Don't set the scene for me. Give me the facts, man. Like,
right.
So I don't know. I don't know who wrote that review, but it was a fine review, but I was just like, man, I do not like these.
I like how they do it now. They do like, they have all the paragraphs of like all the stuff. If you're really into it, you can read that. But at the end, they just have the number and the pros and the cons in a little box. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's good. And then I'll skim the rest of the article usually.
Yeah, it was Tyler Wilde. I didn't want to say it, Sniper. Tyler Wilde, who we interviewed and we love. Yeah. And
yeah.
He's a good writer, too.
Yeah, he is. He was just flexing his muscle, man.
He was doing some creative work there.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I was way too much of a, like, I don't care about story at that time. And plus, I didn't like PlanetSide 2. I really didn't like that game. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But other than that, I mean, that wasn't even a bad review, but a review that I was like really upset about. I don't know if I've ever really come across that.
I'm trying to think of something that was like completely the opposite of what I thought of something.
There are some where I come across and I'm just like, when people are, they're like shitting on a game for all the wrong reasons. For some reason, I don't get that upset about that. I'm like, this person just doesn't get it. They didn't play enough of the game, or, you know, they don't.
Do you
understand.
Read movie reviews?
I do. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have any of those?
Oh God. Movie reviews
that you like hated.
I don't know, man. I read one of Pauline Kael's books, and she reviewed movies for the New Yorker, back in like the '60s and seventies, movie critic for all the way through the '50s. And she was notoriously known for just eviscerating movies, liking very few of them. She loved Robert Altman movies for some reason, but like just about everything else, she would just tear to shreds. And she brings up a lot of interesting points, and like she's very good at her job, but they just seem so negative and they're just kind of hard to get through. Plus, stuff that was written in the 60s, it's hard to read now. Like the words that they use and the way they put sentences together, it seems so different.
Dude, go back like 200 years and try to read that shit.
I would expect, though. Like
right.
Shakespeare and or whatever, yeah, that's I would expect that. But just back in the 60s, you'd be surprised how differently people talk back then.
I read somewhere that like reading Shakespeare in English is like the hardest language to read it in because you have to read it in your in not, you're the only language that has to read it in not your own language. So mm-hmm. like when it's translated into modern Spanish or modern French, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? But for English, you have to read in that old timey stuff. And like, I don't know what half of this means.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. It's hard to understand. And even with Shakespeare, that's difficult because people don't know this, but he actually invented a lot of words.
Like, oh, really?
Some people say, like, I've heard the statistic thrown out, he invented 25% of the English language. I don't know if it's that much. But, yeah, he would just invent words and assign meaning to he like bubble. Bubble is an example of a word that he invented. So I've heard. I'm getting this from
a sounds like bullshit, dude.
I saw it in a documentary I had to watch for a theater class, Baz Luhrmann. It's Baz Luhrmann. Yep, he said it. So I don't know.
Well, rappers do it all the time. They make words up just to fit the fucking rhyme.
And then, yeah, then meaning comes. Yeah. And plus, he was insanely popular. Oh my God. Sniper looked up the episode, or not the episode, but the review. And oof. It's, oh God, it is, I was so close.
I'm standing on the hood of a one seater ATV while my driver, Games Radar's Lucas Sullivan. Here's it. That's not too bad, dude. It was one of friends.
Recklessly shuns roads and opts to bounce over hills. It's very creative. It's very creative. Not
that's
what I
not bad.
No, it's not.
Yeah. You're bad. You're a bad person.
No. And PC Gamer, like, I feel like their website says the authority on PC gaming, and that's, I think that's a great tagline.
Yeah,
for
I'll
them,
give it to them.
Because I always.
Right after us.
Yeah. Of course.
As I take another sip of whiskey. Yeah.
But I completely trust them. Like, I implicitly trust them on all their reviews and kind of go by what they say. So I don't mean to be thrown any shade over in their direction.
I remember, so I got tickets to E3 or something like that. And I went up there and I drove Uber at night while I went to the thing during the day. And I was driving around these producers or somebody from Games Radar. Or Game Informer, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, you know, I like their thing, but I think they're kind of biased. I know.
I was like, God, and they're standing
over there. No, they're in my car, dude.
Oh.
Yeah. They're in my back seat. And I'm like, yeah, I feel like they're kind of biased because I don't know where this opinion came from. I thought it was a review. I was like, because they reviewed something, I was like, obviously bad. And I was like, I think they get paid off or whatever. And he's like, that's interesting they say that because we work over there and we definitely don't take any money for good reviews. And I was like,
No tip.
Get out of my truck.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
That's awkward.
Yep.
Well, that just shows you, folks, we can't be bought.
That's true.
We aren't trying to suck up to anybody. We'll tell it like it is.
Yep.
And also like it's not.
Mostly how it's not.
Yeah. All right. I think that's a wrap here. What are you playing next week?
What's that demo? Yeah, I want to play that demo of Punch Fly.
Fly Punch Zoom. Let me scroll up here.
Zoom Fly Punch.
It is one combination of those words. Fly Punch Boom.
Fly Punch Boom. Yeah. I'll try that out. Other than that, man. Like, I was trying to play Space Hulk Deathwing with my nephew last night. It's just two of us. I got called away 3 times during our, like, hour session. And that's not fair to him, you know? Like, I really got to stay away from multiplayer games. It's just, that's my life now, you know? The backyard got flooded because the kiddie pool got destroyed or whatever the fuck.
It's so tough, man. That's exactly what Kevin from Clay Entertainment Name Drop was telling me when I interviewed him. He said, like, I like single player games because I just don't like being accountable to other people.
Yeah, it's super true. You know what we did play Project Artemis. We played that, right?
Sounds familiar.
That's the one where it's like Space Bridge Commander.
No. That's the one, yeah, it's like a Star Trek sim. We didn't play that one. We played something similar that I've always wanted to go back to. I think it's called, like, Fusion or Pulse Colony. Pulse Colony?
Yeah, but there's another one called Artemis, for
sure. There is, yeah. There is Project Artemis. That's the one that's straight up, like, you're sitting at the desk doing stuff. But the other one we played, Pulse Colony, I believe it was. I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah, I remember that.
But that was the one where you had, like, an away team that went out and did stuff. That one, I was like, dude, this is cool. Unfortunately, we ran into someone who knew how to play that game. It's not Pulse Colony. I'm getting some.
The only reason that I came up right now, or when we were thinking about this, is like, Captain, what do you want to do? And Captain's like holding his baby in another room, you know? Mm-hmm. Like when you really need somebody.
Pulsar, Lost Colony.
There it is. Man, you have a memory, dude.
This game is always just kind of stuck in my memory because I always want to go back to it. How many people are still playing this? 106. Okay.
And they're badasses, dude.
Yeah, they got to be great.
Yeah, they've dominated the Frangay.
Dude, I don't know. Maybe this is the game I'm playing next week. I don't have a game lined up yet, so it might be Cloudpunk, or we'll just see what comes up.
Now, did you say that you were going to talk to them, Cloudpunk people?
We're going to try.
Okay.
Ionlands, I would love to talk to them. Yeah. Cool.
All right. I guess that's it. I don't know what I'm playing next week. JP, Diddy, and I are really close to finishing God's Trigger. When I say really close, we're on the final boss. And he had a baby emergency he had to go, you know? Not an emergency, just, you know, she was crying. So it's just like...
Gaming with kids.
Gaming with kids, you know? Until next time, speaking for Bobby and myself, it's always what's on the screen. Pulsing titties, everybody. Pulsar, Lost Colony titties. Bye. Yeah, so you guys playing that last night?
Project Winter?
Yeah, it's free right now. Mm-hmm. It's an 8-player, like, stab each other in the back game.
Yeah.
I check it out, Dave.
Mm-hmm. You know, I got a better answer for that question from Morconius about reviews. I feel so bad about saying that about PC Gamer now. I just have a guilty conscience. The worst reviews, honestly, are the ones that you did yourself years ago. Dude, there's nothing worse than looking back or hearing yourself from years ago.
Oh, yeah. How about, is this still being recorded?
Yeah.
How about fucking me trying to do all the voices of fucking Smite, dude, while you were talking about Smite? Like, whose idea? Oh, obviously, it was mine. But what? Stop me, Bobby. Sometimes you could say no. Well, then you say no plenty now. But yeah. Back then, you were never saying no. We needed more no's then.
Yeah. All right. I'm stopping it now.